changed my mind yesterday about what I was going to minister about today, because I'm just going to stick with the theme of Bible school, which was go for the gold. Go for the gold. We're seeing a lot of attention right now in the Olympics. Folks getting prepared for that and qualifying to be in it and so forth. And Bible has a lot to say about that attitude. And in 2 Timothy and the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He said, Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Now, this business about a good fight, I've heard the simplest way I know to say it. What's a good fight? One fellow said, a good fight's the one you win. But this is more than just what we think about as fighting, because if you'll check go to the original word in the Greek here for fight, and Bible Dictionary says it was talking about the events in the Greek games, such as running, boxing, wrestling. In other words, it was athletic events is what he was really using the comparison here, and Paul did that often. That was the kind of fight he was talking about, as if you were in a boxing match. But it could be any other athletic event where you're competing. And in fact, he says there in the very next line, then I finished my course. In other words, I finished the race. And Paul used this kind of symbolism a lot of times to bring out a message. When you fight, when you're preparing for a fight, training for an event, who is it that you have to fight with? It's not your opponent when you're training. That's the biggest part of it, is getting ready. It's yourself. Because I tell you, I think we all know there's a scripture in your Bible that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? But then there's a matter of our will getting involved in it, even though we might have the ability. We just saw, of course, this will date this message, but I've already done that anyway. I don't mind doing that as far as tapes are concerned. But the Carolina Panthers just signed a man by the name of Reggie White. He retired year before last, and he might have just needed a year to get his wounds healed up and ready to go again. He's 38 years old, which is kind of old football player, but compared to some of us, it's not that bad. But you know, he didn't play last year, but he tried to stay in shape, but he wasn't in football shape necessarily. So he showed up for training camp and just let them see what he could do for a day. And I saw in yesterday's paper, he said them guys were, you know, really impressed with him, but he said, I told him 10 more minutes and I think I'd have fainted. Because you can be in great shape, but if you don't stick with it, you know, that stuff starts diminishing. We stay in shape by continuing to use these muscles and look after ourselves and so forth. And so when you're getting ready for an event, then the battle's with yourself, not with your opponent. It's with something called your flesh. And I don't know if you ever had to fight a battle with your flesh or not, but if you say you didn't, we'll pray for liars. I used to, you know, one of the simplest things, I don't have to deal with this much anymore once in a while because my situation is different, but back when I worked at a secular job and was on the road traveling, I'd usually leave the house in the morning just going off, maybe driving an hour or 2 hours to get to wherever I was going to work. I always eat breakfast at the house before I left, almost always, and eat that stuff where my wife could supervise what I ate, you know, a little bit of whole grain cereal and a little bit of fruit in it and that kind of thing. So I had already had breakfast, and then I'd think I'd get up and road a little bit, and something on the inside of me would say, why don't you pull in there to Bojangles or Hardee's and get you a cup of coffee? I said, yeah, that'd be a good idea, because a cup of coffee would perk me up and make me feel better. So I'd drive up, and you know, as soon as I'd pull up to that little box on the pole, and my mouth was, I thought it was going to say, I want a cup of coffee, it would try to say, and a ham biscuit. But you know, a lot of times I'd win. Sometimes I'd win that battle. I'd tell my mouth, "You can't have one. I'm sorry, you can't have a ham biscuit. I know exactly what you would do with it. You'd chew it up and send it right down there where it don't need to be." That's good to eat a good ham biscuit once in a while, but you know what I'm talking about is there's a battle to be fought with the flesh, right? And Paul said, "I fought a good fight." And I remember how he told Timothy, he's writing to Timothy here, but in his first letter to Timothy in the sixth chapter, he told Timothy, he said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." And that word eternal life is zoe. That means you have to put some serious effort into it if you're going to expect to claim this blessed life that God said he wants us to live. You have to put some effort into it. It doesn't just get delivered automatically. I put me in my Bible. I was thinking about it this morning. This morning I just wrote. I wrote my own amplified version of verses 7 and 8, and it's kind of like this. It says, "I have prepared myself and put my best effort into this event. I have finished the job, and I keep a winning attitude and confidence in God until the end." And you know what? The second part of this, I fought a good fight, and then it says, "I have finished my course," he said, or we say, "I finished the event." Might have a few NASCAR fans in here. You know how them guys, they'll go out there and be in a wreck, car all torn all to pieces, and they'll work and work and work on that thing, and they're 20 laps down or more, and they'll spend all kind of effort and money to get that car patched up enough to get it back out on that racetrack so they can be there for the finish. Because if you finish, you're ahead of them guys that didn't get back in the race at least. You didn't win, but at least you're ahead of them guys that didn't get back in the race, right? And I tell you, that it's a big thing with NASCAR that you don't want a DNF, did not finish. You're going to finish the race. Tell you something else about finishing. Yesterday, we had Bible school all day. Kids were getting tired, adults were getting tired, pastor was getting tired, everybody's getting tired. We had a long, hard day, but we were still being good and enjoying it, but it was just strenuous. But the last thing we did, we came in here and had to close, because we started about 8:30 yesterday morning, went to 4 o'clock almost, and well, it was about 4 by the time we got out of here. And we had some awards to give, some gold ribbons or gold medals on something. Now, everybody got a reward, received the prize. Even we had a couple kids that weren't able to be here in the morning. They didn't show up until after lunch. They got an award. They were here for the finish. The only ones that didn't get them, now we might slip them to them later on the side, but they didn't get one yesterday, was the ones that left early. The DNFs. Now, I'm not fussing at them. I know people have situations in their family. Don't take this wrong. You had to get your kids early. Repent. Quit thinking what you was thinking about me for saying that. I'm just wanting to show you an illustration here that it's important to be there to the end. You remember Jesus gave a parable about a guy that hired some workers. And he hired them at different times of the day. But you know what? There's all that quitting time when they got paid off. And he paid them all the same, whether they started on time or not. I tell you that some of you out there think, man, this Christian life and the things they teach around here, boy, it sounds so good, but it's too late for me. I waited too late to get started. No, it's never too late to get started. Just don't quit once you get started, right? Paul said, "I finished my course." And he said, "I have kept the faith." And I said a while ago, I said, I kind of paraphrased that. "I've kept a winning attitude and confidence in God until the end." How many times have you seen a ball game, basketball game, football game, whatever, your team was just demolishing the other guys? I mean, they're out. Take, for example, a basketball game, and they're out here and got a 30 or 40-point lead. And so what happened to your team is they done started coasting a little bit. But these other guys, that's 40 points down, hadn't been able to do nothing right, everything's going wrong for them. Halftime, they go in the locker room. Coach goes in there and explains a few things to them. Or either sometimes one of the players will get up and tell the rest of them, explain a few things to them. They come out the second half, and here's your team, thought, "We done got this thing won." And they get creamed in the second half. Because them other guys never did turn loose of their winning attitude. Never did. They kept the faith. And it's not. It doesn't have to just be in the second half. You've seen it happen in the last few minutes of a ball game. Where these guys that didn't look like they had a chance of winning, not a possibility of winning, but they never gave up. They knew they were winners, and if they kept playing the game right, they could win. And behind the whole game and come in there in the last few minutes and take it away from somebody that was kind of coasting a little bit. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Put all my best effort into it, prepared myself, did what I was supposed to do. I finished the race. I stayed in there till the very end, and through the whole thing, I kept my faith. I kept my winning attitude. I tell you what, it'll get you somewhere in the things of God. You know it? Another scripture I'd like you to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I tell you something, we were talking about Bible school yesterday and so forth, We have a good children's ministry here. That's why we have such good children that love God. And we're doing a lot of work over there in their area now, which is what we call the old sanctuary, the kids' church. We're changing it and making it more functional to better to serve them. It was a beautiful old historic-looking place, but we turned it into a kid-looking place. And it's going to be a blessing. But I tell you something, that's why we've been doing that work here all this month now. They've been in here with us for morning worship, and I really enjoyed having them. But we had already talked about we're going to have them in here a little bit more often now on a occasional basis. They're going to be coming worshiping with us. But see, my wife and I and Pastor Don and Terry, we usually sit down here, but they just come in there and start scrouging us out. So we just move, because anybody that wants to sit on the front row, they can have my seat. Especially young folks, if they want to sit on the front row, they can have my seat. And here they are sitting down there and got their Bibles open on their lap, some of them, and they were involved in the worship and praise. And so y'all have been a blessing to me being here, as well as the others that are scattered out around the congregation out there. So we're going to make you come back once in a while. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but it's important for people this age and teenage years to know something about what we're talking about here, about going for the gold and having a winning attitude, having a spirit of excellence. I hadn't used that word, but it's one I like. That means doing your best at everything. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, and Paul writing to the church at Corinth says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. So we're talking about going for the gold. That was what the Vacation Bible School was about. It's the title of my message this morning. He said everybody's running in the race, but one gets the prize. Now I mentioned NASCAR a while ago. I'm not a great fan, except I don't go to races. I can't stand all that crowd, but I like watching them on TV. I like the strategy and any kind of contest like that. I like to watch it. But you know, when it says here, they all racing, but there's just one winner. You know, there's a saying in NASCAR, whoever comes in second is the first loser. Whoever comes in second is the first loser. You think, well, second's pretty good. Yeah, but you're the first loser. You outran all the rest of the losers. Okay? Paul said, they which run in a race, they all running, but one receives the prize. And he said, so run that you might obtain it. What's he telling us? He's saying, go for the gold. Silver medals are good, bronze medals are good, but I tell you, if you're going to go get in this thing, go for the gold. If you come home with a bronze and you can say, I fought a good fight, I did the best I could, I prepared myself, I put everything I had in it, I finished the race, I hung in there till the end, I kept my winning attitude, well, praise God, you can be proud of that bronze medal you brought home. But I'll tell you what, the guy brought the gold home feels better than you do. Amen? I'll tell you something. In my school years, going to school up through high school, I made good grades. When I was in the eighth grade, in the eighth grade at that point, I never had made anything below a B. A's and B's. Wasn't because I tried that hard. I just seemed to catch on kind of easy. Well, then along about, you know, them years when things start changing in your life and all that, and you start getting a little rambunctious. I always like to, you know, kind of be the class clown anyway, but when you get bigger and meaner, you can get in more trouble. And so I did not really try hard in high school. I never failed a course, but I never did just really make top-notch grades either. I just kind of coasted through. And then when at graduation time, if you had a whatever it was, a certain number there, your average had to be above that. I guess it was 90 or above, and at least you graduated, you know, as honor students, honor graduates or whatever. My average was like a small fraction of a number under that magic line. I mean, because if I had done better probably on one test in my whole 4 years in high school, I'd have probably been above the line, but because I goofed off, I was below it. And you know what? I said, that's not going to happen to me anymore. And I think it happens to a lot of folks about that age. You wake up along about 18 there somewhere, you wake up and you said, you know what? I've been goofing off and I'm fixing to get with it. Right? And so we need that winning act. We need to understand about going for the gold in everything you do. Our local schools up here just made a decision that they're going to do away with having valedictorian and salutatorians, and because they don't like it, it gives an impression of personal individual competition, and they don't like that. They want everybody to just be kind of the same and tell everybody, well, I'm okay and you're okay. I think there needs to be a system for the people that excel to say, you number one and you number two and you doing pretty good too, but you ain't making it. Right? Because that's what'll motivate us. All right, Paul said, know ye not they which run in a race, that's verse 24, run all but one, receiveth the prize. He said, so run that you may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Some of those kids that stuck around here till the end of the race yesterday won that incorruptible crown. They raised their hand when we had an invitation and said, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. And he said in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. A lot of good stuff in there. It says up in verse 25, talks about striving for the mastery, striving for the big prize, going for the gold. The word there is, I don't even have to tell you what it means. I'll just tell you the Greek word. The Greek word is agonizomaia. Agonizomaia, that's that word for strive. That means you agonizing over this thing. That means you putting everything you've got into it. That's what striving for the prize is, striving for the mastery, going for the gold, is putting everything to, you know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating drops like blood. He was agonizing over what he was about to do, but he also knew that was God's highest calling for him, and he was going to do it. And then it says, he talks about in verse 25, and every man that striveth is temperate in all things. That word temperate means self-control. It means you have self-control. And then Paul talks in verse 27 about keeping his body under and bringing it into subjection, lest by any means. You're not gonna excel in life if you let the comfort and whatever the desires of your body control you. You're going to be successful in life when you let the Spirit of God, your spirit, controlled by the Spirit of God, control what you're doing, and let it begin to tell your body what it can do and what it can't do, instead of being the other way around. Okay? And then I want to look quickly at one last scripture here, and it won't take but a few minutes, and that is Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, first couple of verses. And it says, wherefore seeing, I'm in Hebrews 12 and starting at the first verse, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about. I'm going to wait a minute on you because I cheated. I had a paper clip. I don't usually do that. Usually I hunt them with you so I get there about the same time you do. But we're in Hebrews 12, the first verse, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul says, we're compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, that was like folks up in the cheering section here. I've heard Andrew Womack tell a story. Incidentally, it's in our newsletter, but he's coming to town in September to Charlotte, so be sure and get that in your plans. I think you'll be blessed by being there all you can. But he told a situation that he was, there was some things he was dealing with in life, and it wasn't turning out right, and so I think this came to him in a vision. I don't remember. It could have been somebody might have told him this, but I think it was in a vision or a dream. But he saw himself out running a race, because what had happened, he'd had some people that were kind of coming in opposition to him, and so he was fighting back. And so his situation wasn't going good. And he saw himself in a race, running a foot race out on the track, and he was leading the race. And of course, some of the folks was cheering for him, but then there was this one group of people up there that was hollering ridicules down there at him and saying ugly things about him and all that as he was running this race. And so every time he'd come around this certain crowd, he'd get that from, so he's leading the race. But one time around, he just goes up in the stands to straighten them people out and begins to lay them in the shade, and it made him feel a whole lot better because he got to tell them off, right? Give him a piece of my mind. Well, I tell you, most of us ain't got a piece to spare. He didn't say that, I did. All right? While he was up there arguing with him, guess what happened? He lost the race because everybody else kept on the running. So what the Lord was showing him was, you just run the race that I've set before you. You do what I've called you to do, and don't worry about what anybody thinks about it, what anybody says about it. You just do what I called you to do, and I'll see that you make it through. Amen? Pretty good example. Paul, that's a part of what he said. We got this great cloud of witnesses up here cheering us on, but we got some that's not cheering too. But he said, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now, I want to get to that word and call your attention to it. You have some notion about what patience means. But the word patient in the original language is from two Greek words, and one of them means under and the other means abide, or to abide under something. That's what this word patience means. It means endurance. More than what we think about as patience, I think it means endurance. And W.E. Vine about the word says this. He said it refers to the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is that quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. And in verse 2, he tells you how to make it work, looking unto Jesus. See, we got to keep, Paul says, I'm keeping my eye on the goal. And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We all know there's a scripture where Paul talks about, I'm going to forget what's behind, and I'm going to press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross, how could he endure? Endure, that's that same word. I'm glad we saw it there. It's that same word, endurance. Jesus endured the cross. How did he do that? What does endure mean? It's that same word for patience. It means he did not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. Why? Because of the joy that was set before him. He had a promise from God. He knew how it was all going to turn out. He knew that the cross is not the end. The cross is just the means to get to the end. And I have to go through this to get there. And so he could go through anything because he knew what the outcome was going to be. Well, I'll tell you something. If you read the back of the book, it'll help you get through a lot of stuff when you find out how it all turns out. And a lot of times you don't have to get that far, because you can get over here in the book of Psalms and every place else and find out a lot of times how your situation is supposed to turn out, right? So to win the gold, we're talking about going for the gold. I'll use another sports terminology. You have to learn to play through the pain. If you want to win the gold, you have to learn to play through the pain. And I've quoted this, it's made such an impression on me, but there was one former superstar that got kind of old and tired, and the Carolina Panthers signed him one year. Great running back, had great history, great records. But when he came to training camp, all he wanted to do was get in the hot tub and soak his old sore muscles. And you know what? Some of the other players told him, you can't make the club when you're laying in the tub. Can't make the club when you're laying in the tub. See, and it's true in the Christian life. You have to learn to play through the pain. A lot of folks will lay down and quit when a little problem comes. No, that's when you just press on. It wasn't me that requested that song, but it was an excellent choice for today. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. Because if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them, and I wouldn't know what faith in His Word can do. Now, we're not out here asking for problems and believing for problems, but I'll tell you something. I found out you don't have to ask for them. You get them anyway. But I also found out that if you got your faith and confidence in God, you can get through them. Right? Never give up, no matter what the score is. You want to go for the goal? Never give up, no matter what the score is. Finish your course. Play with all your heart all the way to the end. Keep the faith. Keep your winning attitude and keep your confidence in God. And then on the commercials they're doing on TV, I noticed the terminology they're saying, to win in the Olympic Games takes skill, heart, and determination. Takes skill, heart, and determination. See, it doesn't just take heart and determination. You got to have those. There's a lot of folks have the skill that don't have the heart or the determination for it. But there's some folks that have the heart and determination don't have the skill. See, to be a runner, I could have all the heart and all the desire and all the determination in the world. And I'm going to go out here and run beside old Gold Shoes. What's his name? Michael Johnson. That guy, is that his name? Yeah. And I'm probably going to beat him. But the fact is, now, there was only one event, sporting event, I ever outdid anybody in as far that required speed, and that was swimming. Because I had some speed in the water, but, honey, I ain't built for no ground speed. I mean, I have short legs, and my center of gravity must be in the wrong place or something. Because when I played football, and the coach got us out there and made everybody run the length of the field, at the end of practice, you already wore out. And the first three guys to get down to the other goalpost get to drop out and don't have to run again. And then the rest of us had to run back, and the first three get to drop out. And the rest had to run back. I'll tell you what, I didn't think it was fair. I thought them guys that could run good ought to have to run all that running and let us slow pokes get to quit the first time. Okay? But you have to have skill. But you know what? You can develop skill, too. It's not. Thank God when you're born with it, but you can develop. Skills have to be developed. And the Bible talks about folks that had a zeal for God but no knowledge. And, you know, my people, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So see the skill. And that's where these folks you're going to see in the Olympics, they were probably born with some natural inclination in that area, but I'll tell you something. They didn't just lay up at the house and watch television and play video games until they decided, well, I think I'll just go get in the Olympics. No, they started, most of them, when they were little kids, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, going to work on and develop that skill. So because they had a drive in their heart and they had a determination that I'm going to be in the Olympics, or I'm going to play in the NFL, or I'm going to play in the NBA, or whatever it is, and therefore they channel their energy toward that. And you know, thank God you don't just have to limit it to sports. Because whatever you decide to do in life, I believe that every one of you sitting in here that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're the one that's in the Bible that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Every one of you, anything that God drops in your heart and gives you a desire for, if you will develop the skill, get the determination, get a winning attitude, and decide that you're going to go for the goal, that means you're going, for one thing, you have to spend some time in the Word of God. You know it? One scripture, it's in Romans chapter 12. It talks about the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. The good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Well, the good will of God is probably pretty good. I mean, that's a good place to be, is in the good will of God. The acceptable will of God. Acceptable was my criteria when I was going through high school. Ah, that's good enough. That's acceptable. That's good enough. I'm going to get to go to heaven when I die. What do I need with anything else, like all this healing and all this prosperity and all that stuff? Well, acceptable is good, but I'll tell you what, perfect's better. And I'm going to go for the perfect will of God. Just like Paul says, I'm reaching toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? Well, what do you have to do? And so anybody you've ever seen that excels at certain things, you're going to find that they put drive and effort and determination into it. Close with one thing. I just thought about this. Old John Osteen, when he was living, one of his favorite sermons that he preached that I loved was, "How big is your want to? How big is your want to?" He told an illustration. He gave several of them, but the one I always remember was about his mother. When she had got well up in years and his father had passed away some years in the past, his mother had about all of her life been a snuff dipper. And so his daddy had tried to get her to quit. He had begged her to quit. He had told her, you know, who would want to kiss a woman with that snuff in her mouth? And, well, she said she just couldn't do it. She just loved it, and she just couldn't quit. Well, then John's daddy passed away, and a couple of years later, she's lonely, and she met this gentleman that really made an impression on her, and they really hit it off, and he said, you know, that he told her, you know, I really think of the world of you, and I think me and you could really have a life together, but that snuff. So in other words, he's going to marry her if she quit dipping snuff, and not if she didn't. John said, you know how long it took her to quit dipping snuff? That long. I snapped my fingers. He said, because now she had a big enough want to. See, he said she knew my daddy'd stay with her anyway, so she didn't have a want to. So how big is your want to? When I was in the Navy and I'd already gotten over the curse of my high school years and been in the Navy for several years, about six, seven years, I guess. And I was in the competition to be promoted to chief petty officer. But it was based on, the criteria was, it's fleet-wide competition in the Navy. That means you're competing with everybody else in the Navy, not just your local command for whatever spots are open. And it's based on your performance and your job evaluations and all that. But then the big part of it is a long written examination. Included a lot of math and a lot of stuff. And I mean, this is a half a day exam you're going to take. And how well you do on that is the biggest factor on where you're going to make it or not. I don't remember how many months before I started, but I was working nights. And I'll tell you what I did in the daytime. We lived in a mobile home in Virginia Beach. And I would shut myself up in the mornings back in the back bedroom, and I would study every day, all day long. And when I decided I was going to do something else, thank God for a wife that's a slave driver, because she'd say, get back in there. What are you doing out here? And she'd call out the questions to me. I think back then she could have probably passed the test too. She'd call out questions. But I mean, it wasn't so. And then I got promoted a lot younger than a lot of folks did in the Navy. And you know, then some people say, well, it ain't fair. Well, you should have spent all your time in the bedroom, sir, if you don't think it's fair, right? And so it's that way in the kingdom of God too, because there's a lot of folks excelling and there's some other folks sitting around saying it's not fair. Well, I'll tell you what, it's an open book test. With Jesus, it's an open book test. If you have a Bible, if you have a desire, and you have the want to get with it, I'll tell you what, there's nothing that can hold you back. All the devils in hell can't stop you, because I'll tell you something, you can come home with the gold, right? Let's stand to our feet. There may be some here that, you know, you've had some victories in your Christian life, maybe in the area of healings that you've experienced and so forth, but you've had some setbacks. You've had some things that discourage you just recently. I want you to get a hold of this concept that you're going to play to the end. You're going to finish the course. You're going to fight the good fight. You're going to finish the course. You're going to keep the faith. Keep a winning attitude. You know, you see, the devil always comes back just about always for a second shot. He'll try and take away what the Lord has done for you. But you know something? God said that's not supposed to happen. He said it can't come a second time. And so thank God for building our faith in that area this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for a church full of winners. God, thank you for folks that's going for the goal, Lord. We believe in a spirit of excellence in this place. We believe that all we do, that we're doing for you. Lord, as we live our lives, the way we look, the way we dress, the way we talk, it's a reflection on you if we claim the name of Jesus. And Father, we're gonna strive for excellence in all these areas. I pray, Lord, for these children, teenagers, all these young folks, but everybody that's in this place this morning, Lord God, to put that desire down in our hearts, that we have that kind of desire, that kind of drive, Father, and give us the skill and the knowledge to go with it, because we'll work on it and help ourselves, Father, for you to help us. We give you the praise for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, I'll be happy to pray with you. If there's anybody here that's never received Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, I want you to come to this altar and let me pray with you. If you're here this morning and you've kind of lived a lackadaisical life with God, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior sometime, but you know your walk with God has not been what it ought to be, and you'd like to make a decision that you're going to do it different from now on, you'd like to rededicate your life to the Lord, come and let me agree with you as you do that. If you need hands laid on you, need to be anointed for something for healing, if you come to this altar, we'll pray with you and the Lord will minister to you. Anything you need from God this morning. Great.